I'm glad to be here this morning and to look into God's Word and to find truths for me. You know, I'm not as young as I used to be, but I still feel like young at heart sometimes. And it's good to be here with this youth group. And I'm blessed to see so many youth here. I think there's probably other things that you could be doing. But to me, by you being here, tells me that you're interested in learning more of God and learning more of how to build God's kingdom. And the subject that the John looked at before this one, I think was on the statutes, laws of the kingdom, is a good basis for this message. And in fact, we could just say, reflect back on that message, and that's what you need to do to build God's kingdom. We could go home. But there's more to it than that. Before we go into an introduction, I'd like to sing a song. I think John was going to hand out some song sheets. And anybody get the song sheets? Yeah, something to do on the back there. In building God's kingdom, there's something for all of us to do, and that's what this song reflects. There's work for the aged, there's work for the young, there's work for us all, and excuses for none. There's work for the feeble and there's work for the strong. There's something for all to do. And as we go through this song, we can see that we're not all at the same place. We don't all have the same experience. And that's how it is in a building project. When we're out working on a building project, not everyone has the same experience. There's different phases of experience. And yet there's the benefit of each one. And that's the thing about building in the kingdom. Some of us are younger. Some of us are older. And we can benefit from each other and as we build God's kingdom. Can you give the pitch for me, Austin?
There's work for the hand and there's work for the heart. Something to do, something to do. And each should be busy performing his part. There's something for all to do. There's work for the aged and work for the young. There's work for us all and excuses for none. There's work for the feeble and work for the strong. There's something for all to do. The sick must be soothed and the hungry be fed. Something to do, something to do. The naked be clothed and the erring be led. There's something for all to do. There's work for the aged, work for the young. There's work for us all and excuses for none. There's work for the feeble and work for the strong. There's something for all to do. Master says work and has shown us the way. Something to do, something to do. He says not tomorrow, but time is today. There's something for all to do. There's work for the aged and work for the young. There's work for us all and excuses for none. There's work for the feeble and work for the strong. There's something for all to do.
So if you think that there's nothing for you to do, you can reconsider. There's lots for us to do. Even when we're young, there's things that we can do to enhance God's kingdom and to build God's kingdom. God needs people, young people like you, that are interested in doing kingdom work. You may think, I'm not needed. There isn't much to do that I can do to build God's kingdom. But just being faithful in the little things, being willing to be teachable from the scriptures, will prepare your heart to be a builder in God's kingdom. I mentioned God needs people like you, young people like you. Our church needs young people like you that are interested in building God's kingdom. One statement that my father-in-law has told me in relation to being a missionary. He said, to be a missionary doesn't require me to have a plane ticket in my back pocket. And going to some foreign mission field, I can be a missionary right here. And there's a lot of truth to that. To do kingdom work, it doesn't mean that you have to have a plane ticket in your back pocket. And then you're going out to some remote area or going to some area across the seas. But you can do it right here at home. And so, I encourage you to start doing that today, if you haven't. Thinking about our churches needing young people like you, you're very much a part of our church today. And there's so much potential for God's church tomorrow. So much potential here to build God's kingdom. If everyone is involved and interested in doing God's work, just right here, God's message can be spread in a lot of different ways. Then we can think of our society. We talked about the society this morning, or maybe you did last night. You mentioned this morning again. Of as they look on and see us, what are we representing? What are they seeing in us? In thinking about building God's kingdom. So our society needs young people that are interested in doing God's work. And serious about building God's kingdom. You know, for them to see young people that aren't indulged in sin, but are living lives that are pure, living lives that are holy, and aren't involved in all the sins of the world. To see young people that reflect Christ, the glorious gospel of Christ, is something that our society needs. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 and 4 says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So let's not hide this gospel that we profess, this Christ that we have in our hearts. Let's let the world see it by our lives, by our actions, by the things that we do, the places that we go. Let's not allow it to be hid. Because if we hide it, it's hid to them that are lost, it says. Recently I heard someone say that there are five Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and you. You may be the only gospel that some people read. And so let's not allow our gospel to be hid from them that are lost. The text verse that I was assigned is taken from Matthew chapter 7. Verses 24 to 27. These are the words of Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount. I'll read these verses, and I'd also like to read the verses in Luke also that share the same account. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not. For it was founded upon a rock, and every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Now let's turn to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verse 47. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built on an house upon the earth, against which the streams did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So we have here a picture of these two builders. They're going to build these two houses. The one is a wise man, and the one's a foolish man. And the one chooses to build his house upon the rock. And when we build something on a rock, it's something that is stable, it's something that is solid, it's something that won't move. And this other builder decided to just build on the sand. Now, if you had a choice which house that you would live in, I think it's obvious which one you would choose. It's the one on the rock, isn't it? Can you imagine a house built on the sand out there on the coast, on the beach there? Build a house on the sand. And then there's rock cliffs over there, there's solid rock. Build a house on the rock. We know that when the waves come in, it's going to wash underneath that house that's built on the sand, and it'll undermine that foundation, the sand. And what's going to happen to the house? It's going to collapse. But the house on the rock is going to stand firm and not move. So there's some key things in here in relation to building God's kingdom. Back in Matthew chapter 24, verse 7, verse 24, it says, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto a wise man which built his house upon the rock. So when we hear the teachings of Jesus, and we don't let them go in one ear and out the other, but we actually do something about it, we actually apply it to our lives, it's like we're building on that foundation, building on that rock that this wise man built on. But when we don't hear, when we hear and don't do, it's like building on that sand. And as the storms come up and undermines our feet, we will collapse spiritually. The part that I liked about the account in Luke was in verse 48. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundations. Laid the foundation on the rock. Like I said, both of these foundations were put to the test. The winds blew. Rain descended from above. Floods came from below. Winds blew, sweeping across the house. Beat on that house from every direction. And the one on the rock stood firm. And the one on the sand collapsed. If we're going to be able to stand and be strong, and understand God's principles and God's kingdom, we need to dig deep. Dig deep into the depths of the truths of God's word, like the wise man did. This wise man had a foundation that wasn't going to move. And we can think about that rock being Christ. And we can think about the foolish man that built his house on the sand. We can think of the sand as being the kingdom of this world. The foundation was shallow. Sometimes we talk about shallow Christianity when we sometimes try to categorize someone's experience with God. If our experience with God is shallow, we're not going to be able to stand the pressures of the storms that come from above and below and the surround. But as we dig deep, we'll be able to stand and place our foundation on the truths of God's word. We'll better be able to stand the storms that come. Matthew 6:33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Building in God's kingdom needs to take priority in our lives. But seek first the kingdom of God. Not second, not third, not when I have time, but it's seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So let's do that. Let's seek God first. Let's make God priority in our lives. Turn to first. I'd like to read some verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Thinking about building on a solid foundation, building this kingdom. Being part of this kingdom, we need to build on the rock, Jesus Christ. Verse 10 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. "According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation." These are words from Paul. "And another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burnt, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Let no man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." And we'll stop there. I believe here Paul lays the foundation, the scope of building in the kingdom. Building on that rock, Christ Jesus. "For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." So if we're going to be a builder in God's kingdom, if we're going to build God's kingdom, that needs to be the first and foremost, or the most important thing, is that we are on the right foundation. And we'll get to that in just a little bit. I see I'm going to have to hurry up here a little bit. So to think about the rest of the time, I'd like to look at, make a comparison of a builder to us building in the kingdom. You know, as a builder prepares to get ready to build a structure, there are several things that take place. There's the blueprint. There's the foundation. There's materials. And then there's the dedication and the commitment to get this job done. And also a vision of of how this is supposed to look. What's this building supposed to look like? So the first one we want to look at is the building, or the permit. Excuse me, the blueprint. In the building of this structure, there's a blueprint to follow. There's details that we have to look at, and we have to build this building to reflect those details. And this blueprint is designed to help the builder accomplish the goal of the architect's vision of the structure that he wants built. God is the architect of his kingdom. And he has designed his kingdom. How to build in his kingdom is found in God's blueprint, in God's word. He has provided a blueprint for us to follow, a plan. Psalm 119, 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Psalm 119, 89, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." This blueprint, God's word, shows us how to live our lives. It's a lamp to my feet. It's a light to my path. And this blueprint it doesn't need to be changed. It's already settled in heaven. Our responsibility is to apply it to our lives, allow it to be the guide to build our lives and to build his kingdom, to build in his kingdom. The next thing I want to look at is the foundation, and we touched a little bit on that. A good foundation is a building is extremely important for a building to stand straight and strong for many years. When we put in a foundation, we need to consider the soil that we're putting the foundation on. We don't want to just build on sand. We don't want to build on a swamp. But we want good, solid soil. If you can build on the rock, is a good place to build. So that if the foundation shifts, if the building moves, if it's built on the rock, it won't move. So in the story that we read, in the Sermon on the Mount there, we looked at the two different builders, the wise man and the foolish man. And this rock, we think of the rock foundation as being the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And the sand representing the kingdom of this world. And this rock foundation representing something that is secure, something that is solid. This sand foundation representing insecurity, instability. And isn't that the world that we live in, our society? There's nothing stable. They're always wanting they're always looking for something else to help them. They're always reaching for something they don't have. And if they would reach out to Christ's rock, they would find security and stability. So the thought of the foundation is important to build God's kingdom. A foundation that is on the sand brings spiritual disaster and spiritual ruin and spiritual failure to one's life. Back to 1 Corinthians 3:11, "For other foundation can no man lay, and that which is laid is Jesus Christ." There's no other foundation that we can build on that will enable us to build God's kingdom. We'll look a little bit at some materials. When a building is being built, it's important to use good quality materials if we want a quality building in the end. For this building to look attractive, we can picture these two houses, and we can picture a house that uses good quality materials, and we can picture a house that uses bad materials. The one with bad quality materials won't be attractive to the person looking on. The one with good materials, There's something about a house that's completed and it's done right and it looks right that is attractive. And so it's important to use good quality materials in building the kingdom of God. Matthew 16:24. And Jesus saith unto his disciples, if any man will come after me and let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. If any man will come after me, if any man will build my kingdom, we need to deny ourselves. We need to take up his cross. And I think that's the key building material in building God's kingdom is the cross. That needs to be something that is emphasized in building God's kingdom. Jesus tells us that if any man wants to come after him or be involved in his program or be a builder in his kingdom, we need to first and foremost take up Christ's cross. Not allow anything to become between us and Christ. You know, our money, our music, our entertainment, some of the things that you're going to be talking about possibly tomorrow. Our possessions, those things that we have that we tend to really like. Maybe it's our vehicle. Maybe it's our, I don't know, you name it. Something that can become between you and God. There was a time in my life when my pickup became between me and God. And one day God said, it's time to wreck it. And I had an accident. And it was totaled. And it woke me up and it made me realize there's more to life than that truck. So God wants to be first and foremost in our lives. God wants to be present in our life. We need to have God's presence in our lives. God being in control of my life. In control of my attitude about myself. In control about my attitude about others. I believe that will prepare our hearts to build God's kingdom. Micah 6:8 says, he has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of thee? Some more building materials. To do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with thy God. Some more building materials. In Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. In order to build God's kingdom, we need to have the love of God in our hearts so it can be reflected to others. 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, talks about, you know, we can do all these good things. We can be involved in trying to build God's kingdom. But if we don't have the love of God in our hearts, it's really useless. It's of none effect. We need to have the joy of the Lord in our hearts so that they can see that there's something that is attractive as the world looks on. This joy of the Lord brings a peace in our hearts. It's a calmness in the heart. And we could go on and look at each one of these fruits of the Spirit in applying them to our lives in relation to building God's kingdom. So if you think about materials and the quality of materials, wouldn't we conclude that the quality, if these quality materials are used, as these quality materials are a part of our lives, when building God's kingdom, it'll be attractive to the ungodly world around us. Those that we meet every day, what do they see? So we talked about the blueprint. We talked about the foundation. We talked about materials. To build a building and to see it through every detail, it takes a dedication, it takes a commitment, it takes a vision. Without a without this vision, without this commitment, the exercise of building would seem to be without purpose. If you're out trying to build something and your heart's not in it, it's probably not going to turn out like it really should. And so it's important to have a vision. That's my next point, is to build without purpose affects our vision. So do you have a purpose to build? Is there a reason why you're building God's kingdom? When we build and understand what the architect's goal really was and what he was trying to achieve, it helps us to build the building that he was wanting. It helps us to have a picture of what this is supposed to look like. And how does the builder understand to get this vision of the architect? It's by studying the blueprint. And so for youth to be able to have a clear vision of how God wants you to build, what he wants you to build, it's important that we understand God's blueprint. God's vision. And how do we do that? It's by familiarizing ourselves with God's blueprint, by studying God's Word. Second Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman or a builder that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Familiarize yourself with God's Word. As you walk with God, spend personal time with God every day. Spend time in prayer. Psalm chapter 1. I'd like to read a couple of verses there. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So here it talks about there's a blessing for the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Get familiar with the Word of God, so that it will benefit you in building God's kingdom. Joshua talks about that also in Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. It talks about meditating therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Proverbs 29 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. So God has a purpose and a plan for each of you to fill in building his kingdom. And as you have a vision of what God wants for you through the blueprint of God's message, I believe you will better be able to understand God's place and God's purpose in building his kingdom. A quote I came across: the most pathetic person in the world is someone who has sight but no vision. And there's a difference. You can have sight, but it's like you're in a daze. You don't really have a vision of what you're trying to accomplish. No purpose. Vision is the perception of our sight put into action. Our vision is a powerful motivator. If you have a vision, it gives you something to be motivated for. It drives that part of your life. And so, if you can have a vision of what God wants from you in building his kingdom, I believe it can motivate you to be a builder in God's kingdom. Psalmist David talks about encouragement for us here is to keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. My brother mentioned that this morning. Ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. Turn not from thy right hand nor to the left. Remove that foot from evil. So our vision and focus is ultimately directed from the heart. And God wants your heart this morning. Our vision becomes a heart issue. So the plea is to keep the heart. Keep thy heart. Don't allow it to wander from the right hand or to the left. What's in the heart will become life's issues. So it's imperative to deal with those issues, and that's dealt with from through the cross. Through the cross we can find forgiveness. We can find freedom from the bondage of sin, so that God can use us to build his kingdom. Next part is dedication. Like we mentioned earlier, this building takes commitment. It takes dedication. Some parts of this project is easier than other parts. Some of it's hard work. Some of it's not so hard. Dedicated builder is committed to not give up until the project is completed. To be a builder in God's kingdom requires a commitment of following Christ at any cost. It requires a dedicated heart. Some parts of this work is easier than other parts. You know, there's times when we get to a rough spot and we'd be tempted to just throw in the towel. When God brings a hard experience into our lives, we're tempted just to give up in building God's kingdom. What's the use in going on with my walk with God? You know, these temptations can be real. And I faced that in my youth. There was a young fellow that was baptized the same time I was. We were good friends. And we faced our struggles, like all young men do. I shouldn't say all men, maybe some more than others. But one day he told me, he said, I'm thrown in the towel. I'm leaving. Why don't you come with me?" And I was faced with a decision. I'm thankful today that God helped me to not go with him. And I had to think about Jesus as he was faced with temptation there in Matthew chapter 4, I believe. I might just turn to that verse. I'll try to wrap up here as soon as I can. Matthew chapter 4. Jesus was tempted. The enemy came to him. Satan came to him. In verse 9, "And he said unto him, All these things I will give thee if thou wilt just fall down and worship me. Jesus said, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." That was Christ's example for us when he faced temptation. And I'd just like to leave that as a challenge for each of you, that when you face those temptations, when you think it's not worth it, when it's time, when you feel like you should just give up, rebuke the devil. Satan, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, God is the only one to serve, not you. Another quote, "Walking with God is the journey of a lifetime, not just the performance of an hour." This thing of walking with God and building God's kingdom is not just something that we can do in an hour. But it's a work in progress through life. It's a growing experience in our lives. We can always find God's grace sufficient to walk through this journey. Like we heard this morning, there's promises for commandments in God's Word. Noah found grace in the eyes of God when he was there faced with building the ark and that big task. That's the same grace that we can experience in our lives. Jesus said in John chapter 4, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work." Meat gives us strength to do God's work. In the physical sense, you eat meat. You eat a steak. It gives you strength in a physical way. And the same thing is true in our spiritual lives. Jesus said here, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me." It's where we find our strength. It's where we find strength to do God's will, to finish His work. Spiritual strength is experienced in doing God's will and in completing the task that He has for us. The last point here, in the building project, when it's all completed, there's a sense of accomplishment that comes with the completed task. There are rewards in living this life for God, in being a builder in God's kingdom. Some of the rewards may be God's presence with us, His Spirit with us, directing us, His power to help us to be victorious. John 1:12, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." So as we have received Christ into our lives, as Christ is giving us a vision of what He wants us to do, we can count on His power to be there to help us to be faithful. Another reward is His guidance. "In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." And then there's the final reward at the end of life. "Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city." Blessed are they that do His commandments. Those that are involved in building His kingdom, there's a reward in heaven awaiting you. Paul's testimony, "I fought a good fight, I finished my course, I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that love His appearing." So the reward is not in the beginning, but in the end. So I just want to encourage each of you youth to fight the good fight of faith. Be a builder in God's kingdom. Get the vision of building God's kingdom. And that's found, again, in getting acquainted with the blueprint, God's Word, what God wants from us. I'd like to just read a little story here at the end. It's called The Carpenter. An elderly carpenter was ready to retire. He told his employer, contractor, of his plans to leave the house building business and with his wife live a more leisure life, enjoying the extended family. He would miss the paycheck, but he needed to retire. They could get by. The contractor was sorry to see his good worker go, and he asked if he could just build one more house as a personal favor. The carpenter agreed, but in time it was easy to see that his heart was not in his work. He resorted to shoddy workmanship and inferior materials. It was an unfortunate way to end a dedicated career. When the carpenter finished his work, the employer came to inspect the house. He handed the front door key to the carpenter. "This is your house," he said, "my gift to you." The carpenter was shocked. What a shame. If he had only known that he was building his own house, he would have done it so differently. So it is with us. We build our lives one day at a time, often putting less than our best into the building. Then with a shock, we realize we have to live in the house we have built. If we could do it over, we would do it much differently, but we can't go back. You are the carpenter. Each day, You hammer a nail, place a board, erect a wall. Life is a do-it-yourself project, someone has said. Your attitudes and the choices that you make today build the house that you will live in tomorrow. Build wisely. May God bless you.